I really hope you guys can join us next Sunday. It's going to be amazing. And man, please be here for our breakfast meeting. That's going to be at 9 o'clock to 9 a.m. And it's going to be great. And I can't wait to hear the word of God from this evangelist. He's traveled the world and he's got a testimony. He's got an amazing story to tell about what God, the grace of God, what God has done in his personal life and what God has done during his travels as he travels to closed countries to the gospel like China, Russia, and many other places around the world that he's going to share his stories. And I believe from what I've heard with him and in conversations that we've had, it's pretty incredible. And of course, he's got an amazing voice, as you can tell. You close your eyes and you would think you're hearing Josh Groban, right? So we are excited. So he's going to be with us arriving on Thursday, I believe, and Friday, that's right. And then you know, he'll stay until June. Anyway, so good to see you guys here. Thank you for those who are watching us online. And we apologize last week. I think we have a little drop in our transmission. So you know how it is, life on an island. You know, we have issues with internet, and it never fails. Tidal wave, you're dismissed. So I did that one right last week. I missed it, but they left. So tidal wave, you may be dismissed as well. So today, we're going to talk about Are You Available? Part 2. Remember last week we talked about Are You Available? So this is going to be part 2 of that. It's not really a series, but I felt like there was something else that God wanted to deliver. Okay, so if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of John chapter 3, verse 16. Are you available for God's love? Last week we talked about are you available to God? And this time we're going to talk about are you available for God's love? In the spirit of Valentine's Day, which is tomorrow, right? If you're single here today and ready to mingle, you might have heard this question before. Are you available? Someone asking you on a date. I still remember the time when I asked that question to Dawn. It's an old picture. So this was before 1960s. Grainy picture. I tried to find a better quality of a picture. But that was our very first date at Oral Roberts University when we went out on a date. And that was a ballroom dancing date. Yeah. It was great. We had a great time. And what she didn't know is that I've got moves. She had no idea that this little Indian boy could move. So anyway, ballroom dancing was pretty amazing. We were trying to do other stuff, other kind of dances and stuff like that. But, you know, we need a little bit more training in some of the other areas. Not me, but... Anyway, can we say in that same spirit of Valentine's Day that she found a Boaz? Right? I believe so. I believe so. She found her a Boaz. The way you spell Boaz is B-O-A-Z, a Z. B-O-A-Z, that's how you spell out Boaz. Now, here's something that I found online about Boaz that I want to share with you. I'm going to read that to you, especially for those ladies, single ladies that are out there that are waiting that are waiting for the right Boaz. While you're waiting for the right Boaz, don't settle for any one of his relatives. And I'm talking about his relative with the same last name. They go by the name of broke ass, lazy ass, cheating ass. Some of you might be, you might have dated that guy before. Dumb ass, cheap ass, definitely don't go home with that one. Married ass, and especially his third cousin beating your ass. Please wait for your Boaz and make sure he respects your ass. Welcome to Oceans United. Now that's a shocker for a lot of you who did not really know what church might feel like when you come here. It doesn't get any better, okay? So just hang on tight. Now that we got this, did somebody ask that question? That's funny. Now that we got this piece of counseling out of the way, let's get down to the Word of God, okay? According to many sources, this is the most quoted scripture in the Bible. John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Now, we're going to do something a little bit different here this morning, as if we haven't done anything different this morning. We're going to change that scripture a little bit. The next slide will give you a little bit of what I want you to do. I want you to change the word world and put yourself in it. Next slide. For God so loved me, right? I want you to personalize this scripture. I want you to make this scripture about yourself this morning. So on the count of three, we did this last week and you did excellent when we talk about here I am, God, send me. So on the count of three, I want you to read this out loud right here, right now. Okay? On the count of three. One, two, three. For God so loved me that he gave his one and only Son, so that when I believe in him, I shall not perish, but have eternal life. Congratulations. You've just now prayed the most powerful prayer. I believe this is the most powerful declaration that you can whisper or you can declare to the whole entire world. You're declaring that for God, the one and only God who gave up his only Son just for you, just for me, so that I may have eternal life. I believe this is powerful. It's a powerful declaration. And the point that I'm making here this morning is this. God loves you. God loves you so much. Sadly, when we think about John 3:16, we might be able to quote it. But we might be believing it for everyone else but us. We might be believing everyone. God died for everyone
but us, but me. So I wanted to make this John 3:16 so personal for you this morning. That God loves you. No matter what you've done in the past, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing that you've done ever in the past can ever separate you from the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus. No pain, no shame, no guilt, nothing can stop you from receiving the love of Christ. I believe God has sent me here this morning to remind you of this. That there is nothing in your past, there is nothing that you've done that can ever separate you from the love of Christ. The question is, that love is available to you. Are you available to receive it? That love is made available to you, the whole world. But the question is, are you available to receive that love? I believe God created us with a void. A void that can only be filled by the love of God. And in our attempt to desperately fill out this void, we've been looking for love in the wrong places. And possibly we've ended up with one of the relatives of Boaz. Because we've been looking for love in the wrong places. You cannot go and look for love without first receiving the love of God. Because if you receive any kind of love other than the true love of God that John 3:16 is just now declaring to us, that we've openly declared, we might be looking for love in the wrong places. And when we end up in those wrong places, and guess who we blame? We blame him. We blame God, and we give love a bad name. Bon Jovi said it best. We gave love a bad name because we've been looking for it in the wrong places without God. You cannot separate love from God. 1 John 7:8, he says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. In order to find love, you must first find God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Love and God cannot be separated because God is love. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. Trust and love, they always go together. And we can certainly trust the love of God, right? We might not be able to trust the love of a friend. We might not even be able to trust the love of even the one that are closest to us. But we can certainly trust the love of God. It never changes. It is the only thing that will always stay constant in everything that you face in life. It will never change. Seasons might change. Friends might come and go. But guess what? The love of God that we just declared in John 3:16 will never change. It will always remain constant. For true love comes from God. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. There is no other scripture in the Bible that properly, explicitly describes or identify God as love as 1 John right here. There is no other word that we can find in the Bible where it makes so much of a reference of who God is. God is love, and His love, if we know God, we know Him. We know His love, and His love has come to abide and to live inside of us. Love is not just what He does. God doesn't just show love. God is love. It is who He is. The Greek word for love here is agape. I'm sure you've heard that word before. Agape is the same word that is used for love in John 3:16. Same in John, 1 John 4. Same word, agape, in John 3:16. It means selfless. It means sacrificial. It means unconditional. Maybe you're here today, this morning, and you've never experienced the love of God in such a way. You've never experienced the love of God as selfless. You've never experienced His love as the sacrificial love of God. And you've never experienced the love of God as this unconditional love. But you're in the right place this morning. I believe you're going to leave this place knowing and experiencing the true meaning of the love of God. Because without His love, you would be looking for love in the wrong places. And you will not find anything. Growing up in my Hindu background, I've looked for love in the wrong places. Everywhere that I turned to, there was not a single God that could show me the same kind of love that I just now described in the form of agape love. Selfless, sacrificial, and unconditional. There was always a performance attached to the way that I understood my little Hindu gods. Now, you might not be in the same boat as I was, knowing Hindu gods, but anything else that replaces the true love of God is a little god. Whatever you want to call that, it might be it. It might even be a relationship that you have, that you're treasuring more than the true love of God. Anything that replaces the love of God is a little g, a little god. And that will take you to the wrong places. This is where you end up with the wrong as. That's where you end up in the wrong places. Where you put your trust instead of the true love of God. And you putting that trust that should be only devoted to God Himself. Now is being misplaced. A misplaced love would always lead you to the wrong places. Where you've taken that place, that void, that can only be filled by the love of God, and you've allowed something else to come in and fill in that void. That void can never be filled by anything else but God. That's the way that God made us. He designed us in such a way so that this void can only be filled by Him. You might be spending your whole life looking for something or even someone to fill in that void, you will be disappointed at the end. But when you put the true love of God inside of you, He would lead you to Him first. He would lead you to everlasting life. He would give you everything that you need to fulfill what God has called you to do. Otherwise, you'll end up in a place where you don't belong, doing things that you should not be doing. And this is where you compromise the integrity of the Creator. Because He created you with that void so that He can take room and fill in that void Himself. Whenever you compromise the integrity of what you've been designed to do, the enemy comes in. When the enemy comes in, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to confuse your identity. He's going to start making you feel like you were never designed to fill in that void with the love of God. He'll bring in something else to you. He'll bring in another relationship. He'll bring in another addiction. He'll bring in alcohol. He'll bring in drugs. He'll bring in anything that can fill that void but God. But when you shift that change and you start seeing yourself in John 3:16, you start realizing that my God died for me. It starts with there, to that point when you start realizing that this God died on the cross for me, so that I may have eternal life. And until you realize that, you'll be looking for love in the wrong places. And eventually ending up with the wrong person, with the wrong Boaz. His love is selfless. His love is selfless. Are you available for this kind of love? If we agree that his love is selfless, the question remains, are we available for that kind of love? Because the question always goes back to you and me. Because Jesus died for the whole world. And I'm part of this world. I need to make myself available to this kind of love that causes a selfless love. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Selfless means put others above self. Put others above self. Here's the key words there. No strings attached. Right? That is important in selfless love. Putting others above self. No strings attached. No strings attached. When Jesus hung on that cross, he put you above himself. Now, that's really important for us to actually take this in, right? When he hung his head on that cross, he had you on his mind. He had me on his mind. No strings attached. We had a conversation with my kids not too long ago at the dinner table. And we're talking about what do we need to do? And we ended up to receive eternal life. And we ended up talking about the two robbers that were on each side of Jesus. And I asked the question, who were they? And Micah responded, they were robbers. One of them mocked Jesus. But what did the other one do? He received the love of Christ. He understood that there was a void inside of him. As he was hanging on that cross, he knew that there was a void inside of him. Even as he was getting ready to breathe his last, he had enough time to call on the name of God. See, that void will always remain a void up to the point where you breathe your last. It's hard to comprehend this, right? Because in our mind, the way that we think things, we think that everything must be done in a certain way. We can only get saved in church. We can only receive Christ or get a move of God in a revival. But you know that revival can happen right here, right now. The moment you open your heart and fill in that void with the love of God. We don't need to have another evangelist come in to preach a revival. It can happen right here, right now, the moment you decide to fill in that void with the love of God. That robber did it, and guess what? That same afternoon, guess what way he ended up? He experienced John 3:16. Without ever the words of John 3:16 ever being put on paper. He experienced that true love of God because he filled in that void with the true love of God. This love is selfless. Now I want you to hear this, that same selfless love that Jesus displayed. He took that same selfless love and he placed it in you. He placed that same selfless love in me. And here's the reason why. Because he wants you to display that same love, selfless love, to others. No strings attached. Now, how hard could that be? I mean, you know, we got to be honest. We're in church. Sometimes it's hard to actually serve, put others above self with no strings attached. No strings attached. That is hard sometimes because in our way, our humanity, the way we understand serving, we have a different way of understanding the way that we want to be recognized for our acts of service. For whatever we're doing, we want to be recognized. We at home as maybe husband and wife, we do something, we want to be recognized for what we do. But God said, and he displayed it, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve others. Because this is, we got to take it and make it in a very practical sense. Otherwise, it will be just words that we read and we get happy about it in church, but we don't put it into practice in our own life. How about us practicing at home? Especially during Valentine's Day, Valentine's time. Let's serve the ones that we love with no strings attached. Just because we want to display that same selfless love to others. When God is first, showing selfless love is easy. When God is not first, it's hard. That is really the bottom line. When God is first in everything that we do to serve, it becomes easy. It becomes second nature to just do it. To do it behind the scenes because we don't care. That's what we do. That is exactly the heart of Christ, is to serve selflessly with no strings attached. Number two is his love is sacrificial. If his love is sacrificial, are you available for that kind of love? Because we see it, that same word agape is displayed and expressed in John 3:16 and in 1 John chapter 4. But are we available for this kind of sacrificial love? In John 15, verse 13, it says, greater love has no man than this. I love this verse. I love this verse. Greater love has no man than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Now let it be known that Jesus, his life was not taken away from him. He laid down his life by himself. He made a choice. He laid down his life. When he took his last breath, he had you on his mind. When he took his last breath, he had me on his mind. He demonstrated his love to a world that he knew would reject him. Now that's some kind of love. That's crazy love. That's crazy stupid love. Stupid does not mean stupid, really. It's the new way it means it's cool. It's crazy. It's beyond what we know, beyond that what we can describe. That's why we say stupid. It's amazing love. It's indescribable love. We can't even put that kind of love in words. Who would make a choice to die for you? Jesus did it. He made a choice. He surrendered his life because he had you on his mind. He surrendered his life because he had me on his mind. That is the type of sacrificial love that we talk about. And guess what? He put that love inside of you. He put that same kind of sacrificial love inside of me. Number three, his love is unconditional. Unconditional. Question is, are you available for that kind of love? Are you available for this type of unconditional love? In Romans 5:8, it says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. Right? But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. And here's the part that I want you to catch. I mean, this is very important. We know that he sent his son to die for us. We just read about it. We know this. We've memorized this. We even put our name next to it. We've made it a declaration just a few minutes ago. We talked about it. We know it. For God so loved the world that he died for me. And he made a way for me to get eternal life. Blah, 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 blah. I know this. But do we know this here? While we were still sinners. I mean, this is powerful right there. While we were still sinners, he did it. He didn't wait until we got our act together. There were no conditions. This is what we call unconditional love. He didn't wait for us to overcome our afflictions and our addictions. He didn't wait for us to fix our problems. He did it, no strings attached. He didn't wait for us to be better wives, better husbands, better children, better pastors. He did it while we were still a mess. He didn't wait. He did it because there were no strings attached to what he did. While we were still sinners, Jesus displayed or showed his great love for us by dying for us. Now you put that same unconditional love. That same unconditional love with no strings attached inside of you and me. Friends, this is a powerful thing. I mean, this kind of love, that God's love, that he has filled that void that I just talked about, is a powerful, powerful thing. And this love is selfless. It's sacrificial. It's unconditional. That same powerful, the power of love, is inside of you and me. I mean, for centuries, musicians have been trying to define what love is. I mean, Jesse helped me out. There's so many songs that are out there about, I want to know what love is. I mean, you know that song. I mean, we know this. People have been trying to define love for centuries. But we've been trying to do it outside of the scope of the Word of God. But when we bring it back to John 3:16 or 1 John chapter 4, or as we keep on reading Mark chapter 10 and all the other scriptures, Romans 5:8, as we go through all of this, we know what love is. Because we cannot define it outside of the true love of God. That's where we find our compass. That's where we find our bearing in life. Because without that, we are lost. We end up looking for love in the wrong places. And we give love a bad name. Because we end up blaming God for what we do that is wrong. Because we never put him first. We never allow that void that we were created to fill by him. We fill that with something else other than him. But the true love of God, the one that is selfless, the one that is sacrificial, the one that is unconditional, is so powerful And this powerful force is inside of you. Now we can see the evidence of this powerful force by looking at the fruits that we bear. We can look at somebody and we can see the fruits of loving kindness, of patience. And we can say, the force is strong with that one. Because we can tell where they've been. We can tell by looking at the fruits that that void has been filled by the love of God. Because when you squeeze them, guess what comes out? Love of God. When you press them, when you come against them, when you persecute them, when you attack them, where you verbally abuse them, you persecute them in many other ways, guess what comes out? Selfless love, sacrificial love, and unconditional love. That's the true love of God. And you can judge the tree by the fruits that are being produced, especially when there's a little squeezing happening. When there's a little squeezing happening, the true love of God comes out. Now here's how Paul describes this powerful love in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. I mean, the whole chapter, I mean, you can go back into even chapter 5 and the whole thing leads towards the love of God. It's like Paul is building up onto something. And he started with the mess that we put ourselves into. He started talking about our past, our shame, our guilt, our pain. And then right here, in verse 31, Paul asks a question. And his question is simple. What then shall we say in response to these things? I know I'm catching this towards in the middle part of the thought. But let me tell you what those things were. Those things were your pain, your past, your guilt, your shame. He's saying, not denying that they were ever there. He's saying, considering all of these things. Because God does never, don't want us to be in denial. He wants us to consider these things. All the pain, all the shame, all the guilt. All the pain. But he says, considering all these things, in response to these things, if God is for us, who can be against us? Considering all the past, all the things that we've messed up, all the wrong places that we've been. Consider this. If God is for us, then who can be against us? I'm here this morning to tell you this. God is for you. God is for you. God is for you. Why don't you make this a declaration this morning? God is for me. Go ahead. God is for me. I mean, this got to sink in. God is for me. God is for me. God is for me. God is for me. Now, that doesn't mean that trouble won't come. That doesn't mean that you won't have any kind of trouble, pressure, persecution. It will come. But if they do come, if trouble comes knocking today, today God is saying, I am for you. I am on your side. As of today, if trouble is coming today, I am on your side. I am on your side. God is not just for you. God is in you. There's one thing to know that God is for me. But that same God that says he's for you is also in you. His love is in you. His grace is in you. His faithfulness is in you. His grace is mercy. His love is inside of you. And none of these would ever change. This is why we can make this statement. What shall we say then? In response to these things, if God is for us, then who can be against us? In other words, if the devil is throwing lemons at you, guess what? God is gonna take those lemons and make lemonades out of them. If the devil is throwing stones and blocks at you, guess what? God is gonna take those stones and those blocks and turn them into stepping stones. Whatever it is that the enemy is throwing your way, God will always turn it around. Because if God is for us, then who can be against us? Now we can hang in there for a while. We can hang in there right there. I believe I spent over 30 minutes on that point. Because it's so amazing to realize that God is for you. God is for me. And if God is for me, then who can be against me? But I want to move on. I believe we've got places to go. We got promises to discover. We got love of God to experience. I want to check verse 32. We got a whole hour there, Jesse. Just barely starting. You just keep playing, Jesse. That's good. Verse 32 says this. He, talking about God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Now, this is where we tie in John 3:16. God did not spare his own son. I believe this is a choice. I believe God made a choice not to spare his own son. You know why? Because of his love for us. He made a choice not to spare his own son, his one and only son, because he loved us so, so much. We can't even stop here. We got to finish this verse. Then he goes on and he says, How will he not also? Along with him, talking about Jesus. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us what? All things. Maybe you hear and you're thinking, when I've read John 3:16, I mean, that's great. His death, Jesus died, he was resurrected, and I believe that, that's my ticket to heaven. That's it. But you'll be missing out. This thing called abundant life. Between now, here and now, and heaven. You'll be missing out on a whole bunch. That's why he's saying, along with him, graciously give us all things. Everything that we will need here on earth is found in Him, in Jesus. Everything you need is in Jesus. You need peace, is your peace. You need joy, is your joy. You need wisdom, is your wisdom. You need God to make a way. He is your way maker. You need victory, is your victory. Everything that we will ever need will come from Him. Victory is not something that you must work in order to receive. You've already received the victory. It's a position that you occupy. Everything that you do from this point on is from a point of victory. You're working towards not victory. You're working from a position of victory. You're moving forward from a position of victory. Same for your righteousness. You don't have to work for righteousness. You are already righteous because of what Jesus did. He's paid the price for your righteousness. Today, when you stand on the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus, because of what He did. That is why when the enemy comes against you to accuse you, you stand on the righteousness of God. When we sang that song, which ties in with Isaiah chapter 6 that we talked about last week, when Isaiah stood in that throne room, when he experienced the presence of God, he saw the Lord seated on the throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple. He had experience with God. Then he said, behold, I'm a sinful man with filthy lips. And I live among a people of filthy lips. But yet again, he stood in the presence of God. Why? Because at that moment, he stood on the righteousness of God. Don't allow your shortcoming, your failure, your past, your guilt, your shame ever stop you from standing in the presence of God. When you stand in the presence of God, it's the blood of Christ that covers you. When God sees you, He doesn't see you with the lens of your shame, your guilt, your past. He sees you through the lens of the blood of His Son. That's why you can stand in the presence of God. Everything that you need today is found in the finished works of Jesus. It is finished. You don't need to fight against the enemy to defeat him. He's already defeated. What you need to do is to remind him that he is defeated. You need to remind him that he's defeated. He was defeated the moment that Jesus took that cross. And he never expected Jesus to rise from the grave. That gave you and me our victory, our right standing with God. It is finished. It is paid in full. Paid in full. Then Paul goes on and he talks about the love of God, that there is nothing that can separate us from that powerful love of God that we just talked about. He goes on in verse 35, says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor things present, nor future, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God has sent me here this morning to remind you that God is not mad at you, but he's madly in love with you. He's madly in love with you. He wants you to remember how much he loves you. He wants you to remember how deep, how wide, how high his love is for you. Would you please stand? The question that I started the message with is, are you available for this kind of love? I believe Apostle Paul did his very best with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to be able to even describe this kind of love. And I believe this morning, God wants you and me to remember this kind of love. Just like I'm asking you this question, are you available for this kind of love? God is asking me that same question. Am I available for this kind of love? Am I available for him to take a peek inside of me? To let his light shine inside of me and see if there's any void that he needs to fill. See, for God sent his son to this world not to condemn this world. So God did not send his son to condemn you. He sent his son to save you. To save you from judgment. Because he's a just God. And whatever he does will be just at the end. But he did not send his son to condemn you. To bring judgment upon you. He sent his son to give you eternal life. So that you may live a life that is full. That is victorious. He wants you to know this morning that he loves you. If this is all you get this morning out of this message, I want you to get this. God loves you. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you sacrificially. He loves you selflessly. Let's pray. Father God, we say yes, we are available. We are available. If you're here this morning and you've never experienced the true love of God, and this is all new to you, I want to be able to pray with you. I want to be able to pray with you. Just like somebody prayed with me. Because I did not understand that there was such a God that would do all of this for me. I did not understand that. It was beyond my natural comprehension that this God by the name of Jesus, the true, the one and only God, would do all of this for me. If you've never prayed that prayer to invite him in your life, I want to be able to help you. But for all of you who've already made that commitment before, I want you to know that he loves you. When he sees you, he sees the blood of his son. Maybe you're here this morning and the guilt and shame of your past have been keeping you in a prison. The love of God will set you free. that those prison doors that have been locked in and keeping you as a convicted criminal, those doors are opening right now in the name of Jesus. Because of that same unconditional, that same sacrificial, that same selfless love, it's setting you free right now. No guilt, no shame, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you that you're transforming lives right now in the name of Jesus. You're doing something that goes beyond even the words that were spoken. Only you can do this, Lord. Only you. And right now we open up our hearts to you. We invite you in. You occupy and fill in every single space of that void. Don't let room for the enemy to occupy. Holy Spirit, come. Refresh us and fill us anew. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you all. Hang out and don't forget breakfast at 9, men's breakfast at 9. And we also have next Sunday service at 10:30. God bless you all and we'll see you.